Today is the fifth Sunday of Easter. The lessons are from Scripture, Psalm 150, and the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verses 12 through 22. Today's message is titled, Living Praise. Psalm 150. Praise the Lord! Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His acts of power. Praise Him for His surpassing greatness. Praise Him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise Him with the harp and lyre. Praise Him with tambourine and dancing. Praise Him with the strings and flute. Praise Him with the clash of cymbals. Praise Him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Here ends our first lesson, the Gospel according to John, 16th chapter, beginning of verse 12. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to Me by taking from what is Mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to My Father is Mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is Mine and make it known to you. In a little while, you will see Me no more. And then after a little while, you will see Me. Some of His disciples said to one another, "What does He mean by saying, 'In a little while you will see Me no more, and then after a little while you will see Me'? And because I am going to the Father," they kept asking, "What does He mean by 'a little while'? We don't understand what He is saying." Jesus saw that they wanted to ask Him about this, so He said to them, "Are you asking one another what I meant when I said, 'In a little while you will see Me no more, and then after a little while you will see Me'? I tell you the truth. You will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world. So with you, now is your time of grief. But I will see you again, and you will rejoice. And no one will take away your joy." The Gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, Thou hast given us Thy Word for a light to shine upon our path. Grant us so to meditate on that Word and to follow its teachings that we may find in it the light that shines more and more until the perfect day. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Shout praises to the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Give glory to the Lord Most High. Let all things, all places, all times praise the Lord. Shine the spotlight. Let the neon lights light up. Let the fireworks burst forth. Let the stillness of the night with lightning bug flickering glow. And the embers of a dying fire with the cricket's song along with the bullfrog singing bass. Let all things, let everything praise the Lord. Morning, noon, and night, wherever you are and whatever you are doing, Praise the Lord. Yes, morning, noon, and night, wherever and whatever may it be. May it all be praise to you, O living God. Living a life that praises the Lord. What does it look like? What does it look like? What does it feel like? Is it an all-night, never-stopping celebration like after your team wins the championship? Or is it more robust and yet at the same time more subtle? Is it big and boisterous or dainty and delicate? Is it fortissimo on the piano or is it pianissimo on the piano? Could it be both? Living a life of praise, quite simply, is this. Living a life of praise is living life, being ever mindful the Lord is God and worthy of all praise, no matter what daily life at that moment might be like. No matter what, it's living in praise. Ever mindful, the Lord is God. Yes, living a life of praise is simply living life. Mindful, the Lord is God. Worthy of worship, worthy of praise in all things. Psalm 150, verse 1. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. That word sanctuary, it means the holy place, the place of the Lord in all His otherness, in all His set apartness. God is so other, so set apart in the fullness of sacredness. God is that fullness of sacredness, such that Isaiah heard the seraphs singing. It's written Isaiah 6. The seraphs were singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory." The sacred otherness of God, who alone is holy, holy, holy. Who alone is worthy of worship and praise. Praise the holy. Holy, holiness of the Lord God. Psalm 150, verse 2. Praise Him for His acts of power. Praise Him for His surpassing greatness. Consider the mighty power of the living God. Power so full of excellence and wonder that a spoken word from the lips of the Lord brought forth all of creation. Who has such grandeur and greatness as the Lord our God? Such great power to work through suffering of His only begotten Son, the victory over death, sin, and the devil. To bring about the redeeming work to completion, that such a day will come when the trumpets will sound and the heavens shall break open and the glory of the Lord shall burst forth and the dead in Christ will rise and the living shall be changed in a twinkling moment as the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality in Christ. Let the music flow. The trumpet, the harp, the lyre, the guitar, the tambourine, the flute, strings, violin, viola, cello, percussion, cymbals, resounding cymbals, as in Handel's Messiah. As Handel's Messiah brings forth the sound of a symphony orchestra and voices singing praises to the Lord Almighty. And yet, Handel was frequently known to proliferously swear in 5 different languages. Yet, he was frequently also known to declare the pleasure he felt in setting the scripture to the music. The pleasure he felt at setting scripture to the music, and at the same time that reputation of prolific cursing in five different languages. I mean, in 24 days, just 24 days, Handel composed 260 pages of orchestra score with vocals. 260 pages. It's a wonder. It's a miracle. When finishing the portion known as the Hallelujah Chorus, Handel said, "I did think, I did see all heaven before me and the great God himself." What is even more fascinating is the backstory, the librato, the text of the opera. That's what librato is, a text of an opera. The librato of the life of Christ and the work of redemption with text taken from the Bible was written by Charles Jennens. Charles Jennens. Jennens was a friend of Handel, and Jennens asked Handel to compose music to his librato, the text of the life of Christ and the work of redemption. Handel estimated to take about a year to complete. A little while later, there was a gathering of charities in Dublin, and they asked Handel to compose a benefit performance to raise money to free men from debtors' prison. At this time, Handel was bankrupt, and he was very likely heading to debtors' prison. Now, with Jennens' librato in hand, and yes, the Dublin Society offered him a royal compensation, a good sized compensation for writing the music. Threatened with debtor's prison, right? So he grabbed the librato from Jennens about the redeeming work, the life of the Messiah and his redeeming work. And he composed it for the benefit of freeing men from debtor's prison. And that fire was lit inside of Handel. The passion, it flamed up, and the pen rapidly and repeatedly hit the inkpot, and notes on the staves began to flow and flow, bringing forth an orchestration music score. Orchestration with voices. Orchestration. Oh! The performance raised 400 pounds. It released 142 men from debtor's prison. The life of Christ, the Messiah, and the redeeming work of Christ released men from debtor's prison. And it's the work singing about of releasing us from the prison of sin, the devil, and death. Released from prison, Christ's redeeming work will release you from the prison of sin and death to freedom in Christ. Handel frequently declared the pleasure of putting scripture to music. Eric Liddell, whose life was highlighted in the movie Chariots of Fire, said to his sister, "I believe God made me for purpose, but he also made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure." Eric Liddell, after his Olympic gold and the world renown, everything was open before him. Yet the Flying Scotsman, as he was known, he returned to China as a missionary. Just as his parents were missionaries to China, serving the Lord in China with the China Inland Mission Society, the society founded by Hudson Taylor years earlier. Liddell was taken captive with others from the China Inland Mission. He would die in a Japanese prison camp from a brain tumor, and malnourishment. Liddell said, "It has been a wonderful experience to compete in the Olympic Games and to bring home a gold medal. But since I have been a young lad, I have had my eyes on a different prize. You see, each one of us is in a greater race than any I have run in Paris. And this race ends when God gives out the medals." Handel composed to praise the Lord. Liddell ran to praise the Lord God. And you can praise the Lord God with your life. Not the bits and pieces of your life. All of your life. Johann Sebastian Bach, along with other composers of his time, would often sign manuscripts with SDG. Capital letters, SDG. These initials were short for the Latin, Sole Deo Gloria. Sole Deo Gloria translates into English, for the glory of God alone. Bach would sign all his manuscripts, for the glory of God alone. Praising the Lord God with music, making clear the reason he put pen into parchment and ink and all that together to write out that music. He made it clear it was for the glory of God alone. Praising the Lord with music, using one's skills and talents to praise the Lord. Is it any wonder why these composers' works have stood the test of time? Still greatly admired and performed these hundreds and hundreds of years later. The prayer of today, the prayer of the day from today's worship, the prayer of Martin Luther. And the manner of prayer gives us insight into Luther, gives us insight into him, and also insight into ourselves. The prayer we prayed a bit earlier in service today. Dear Lord Christ, give us your Holy Spirit and gifts not for our own glory, but for the service and edifying of all Christendom. This is the only reason you give your Spirit, as St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12. You give to each one according to your will. That is not for our shame or sin or vanity, but for your praise and glory and love. And thanks for your inexpressible grace and gifts forever. The Lord God gives us gifts for his praise and glory. For the glory of God. Gifts to be used in love for the Lord God. And in thanksgiving for the inexpressible grace and gifts given to us for all time. Gifts that are to be placed in the service of Almighty God. Such as Bach. Sola Deo Gloria, placed in the service of Almighty God by placing them in the service of all Christendom, for the edifying of all Christendom. Edifying, that's improvement, enrichment, for the improvement of mind and character. These gifts given to us from the Lord in our lives are for the uplifting of the church. Uplifting and ennobling of the whole church, building the faith in others, and bring praise, honor, and glory to God. Psalm 145, verses 1 through 3, a psalm of praise of David. I will exalt you, my God the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. Psalm 146, verses 1 and 2. Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord, O my soul! I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Psalm 147, verse 1. Praise the Lord! How good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant and fitting to praise Him. Psalm 148 declares all that is in the heavens above, praise the Lord. And that all that is from the earth below, praise the Lord. Psalm 148, beginning at verse 7. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all ocean depths, lightning and hail, snow and cloud, stormy winds that do his bidding, you mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds, kings of earth and all nations, you princes and all rulers on earth, young men and maidens, own men and children. As I said earlier, Living a life of praise simply is living life ever mindful the Lord is God. And worthy of worship and praise in all things. Living a life of praises, living as a disciple of Jesus, showing forth praise and worship by living the faith day in and day out. Living with praise on our lips, flowing from our hearts, no matter what the day may bring. Psalm 34, beginning at verse 1, it's Psalm of David. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. At all times, extol the Lord. Always on my lips will be his praise. All times, always. As in Philippians 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Always, always rejoice and praise the Lord. Always is always. It's easy to do when all is well, but when the heart is breaking, the soul is crying in pain, suffering, sadness, brokenness, praise the Lord and rejoice. Then also, rejoice then also in all your suffering. Rejoice. For that is the faith of the church. Paul and Silas, stripped, severely flogged, and thrown into prison. Taken to the innermost cell and their feet fastened into stocks. Paul and Silas' hearts and their souls turned to prayer and praise. Yes, prayers and praise in the midst of their great suffering. Acts chapter 16, verse 25. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. In the midst of suffering, when swearing, curses, complaining would most be expected. There, in the midst of that suffering, instead were prayers and praises, hymns. Yes, hymns filled the jail. And the other prisoners were listening. Others were listening. And a mighty movement of the Lord took place. The jail was shook by a mighty earthquake, bursting the jail doors wide open. All the prisoners' chains became loose. The jailer would end up taking Paul and Silas home, caring for their wounds, washing them as Paul and Silas spoke the word of the Lord to the jailer and the entire household. A meal was set before them too. Acts chapter 16, verse 34. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God. He and his whole family. It came by joy and hymns and prayers of praise coming out in the midst of great suffering. When your heart is hurting, when your life is in terrible turmoil, when not knowing where to turn, turn to praise. Turn to praise, for the wonder will happen in you. A wonder will happen in you as the faith is brought to your lips and lifted up in your heart. And others around will hear you and all be amazed. The faith carrying a broken heart, faith carrying a stricken soul, singing the praises of the Lord God. As in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning at verse 16. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. These things. This kind of response in life brings forth the moving of the Holy Spirit. But when we do not do these things in all circumstances, the opposite may occur. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not quench the Spirit. So you see, being joyful, praying continually, giving thanks in all circumstances, for it is God's will for you. That does not quench the Spirit. It actually raises up the spirit of the faith in you. But you grumble, complain, you moan, a groan about. That quenches the Spirit. And you've probably encountered people where there's just this gloominess is all around them because they're always complaining and saying, nah. It's because the Spirit, is it there? Or someone's suffering greatly, but yet there's a light and a joy shining around them. The gloominess is not there because the faith is living with boldness and courage and singing praises to the Lord God, giving thanks to the Lord God. Think on those things. Just as the Lord was praised and glorified through Paul and Silas's suffering, and the Spirit flowed, the same will come in your life too. In the 1960s movie Pollyanna, I've seen it, you've seen it, it's one of my more favorite movies. The younger generation maybe hasn't seen it, but the 1960 movie Pollyanna. Pollyanna comes to live with her Aunt Polly after Pollyanna's missionary parents had died in the mission field. Pollyanna, with her indomitable spirit to see the good, even in the worst situations, it transformed the whole town. A town that was once divided by feuds and living under the intimidation of her Aunt Polly was made new through Pollyanna's life. Praising the Lord, even in the worst situations, can make new, can make things new, new life. For the faith is being expressed with boldness and courage. Fanny Crosby, born in 1820, lost her eyesight at 6 weeks of age due to a local physician's mistake. With her vision destroyed, shortly later the physician fled town to places unknown as it became known what he had done to little Fanny's eyes. Yet, Fanny, as she grew, showed no trace of resentment, cheerfully accepting her lot in life as part of God's will for her. God's will. Yes, God's will for her. Becoming strong in the faith. Later in life, she wrote, "Blindness cannot keep the sunlight of hope from the trustful soul. One of the easiest resolves that I formed in my young and joyous heart was to leave all care to yesterday and to believe that the morning would bring forth its own particular joy. Leave it behind and look for the joy to come." Filling her life with Bible verses as she grew, and she became victorious. Yes, victorious at competitions of reciting Bible verses. After a failed attempt to see if her sight could be restored, Fanny wrote her first poem, and she was only 8 years old. This is what she wrote. "Oh, what a happy soul I am. Although I cannot see, I'm resolved that in this world, contented I would be. How many blessings I enjoy that other people don't. To weep and sigh because I'm blind, I cannot, nor I won't." She wrote a hymn, many hymns, lots of hymns, lots and lots of hymns. The chorus of her hymn, "Praise Him, Praise Him," with the subtitle, "Joyful Song." This is the chorus. "Praise Him, praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, praise Him, ever in joyful song." With all this praise, she praises. The first line of each verse tells us why she praises. Praise Him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. There's the focus on Christ. Fanny Crosby penned over 5,500 hymns, with her self declaring she must have written at least half as many more, meaning well over 8,000 poems of worship and praising the Lord. The wonder, the power of praising the Lord, living a life of praise for Jesus, the Savior and Lord, who redeemed us from sin and death by His own precious blood on the cross. That is more than enough reason to praise the Lord. From Martin Luther's introduction to St. Paul's letter to the Romans, faith is a living, bold trust in God's grace. So certain of God's favor that it would risk death 1,000 times trusting in it. Such confidence and knowledge of God's grace makes you happy, joyful, and bold in your relationship to God and all creatures. The Holy Spirit makes this happen through faith. Because of it, you freely, willingly, and joyfully do good to everyone, serve everyone, suffer all kinds of things, love and praise the God who has shown you such grace. Again, living a life of praise is simply living life by faith, ever mindful the Lord is God, and worthy of worship and praise in all things. In all things, living a life of praise is living as a disciple of Jesus, showing forth praise and worship by living the faith day in and day out, living with praise on our lips, praise flowing from our hearts, no matter what the day may bring. Living life by faith is living praise. Amen and amen.